It'd be tragic to come to the end of time and have the only generation that experienced divine health to be a people that were not born again in rebellion against God. So it needs to matter. This is the knowledge to the burning conviction, where we contend for the purity, the holiness, the righteousness of God to actually be on display in every part of our life. Church, I was this last week in Portugal. Had such a wonderful time, and we went out to just hang out for a few minutes following a meeting, and Ben Fitzgerald and Jean-Luc found this man walking into the back of this restaurant area, and they went over and started up conversation with him, and moments later I see them kneeling down around his knee. They're grabbing his knee and praying for him, and they had some word of knowledge or something for this guy, you know, just this innocent guy walking through. To them, he had neon lights, you know. Yeah. Me, pick me. And so they kneeled down. It was fun. It was fun to watch. I just sat there and watched them. And they laid hands on him. They held his knee. And Ben said, "Man, did you feel that?" The guy said, "Yes, I did." And his knee was cracking and popping and moving around. And the Lord completely healed the guy. And it was fun to watch. Fun to watch. See, divine health is your inheritance. Now, we don't know a lot about it yet, but it doesn't mean it's not true. You got to ask questions, got to look in the book. There's insights there that will unfold to us in years to come. But don't deny it because you don't understand it. The children of Israel had divine health in the wilderness. Who were they? They were not born again. They're in rebellion against God. And they experienced divine health. It would be tragic to come to the end of time and have the only generation that experienced divine health to be a people that were not born again in rebellion against God. So it needs to matter. This is the knowledge to the burning conviction, where we contend for the purity, the holiness, the righteousness of God to actually be on display in every part of our life. And so they shook hands with this gentleman and just sharing the Lord with him. And the guy said, "Hi, my name's Bob." And Jean-Luc said, "It's so good to meet you." He says, "It's interesting because I have a friend in the United States by the name of Bob Harrison." And he looked at him and said, "I didn't tell you my last name. How did you know my last name?" that was fun to watch, because Jean-Luc heard when he said Bob, he heard Bob Harrison. And it wasn't until afterwards he found out he didn't give his last name. Needless to say, that had his attention. "How did you know my last name?" So he got healed, word of knowledge operated that God knows him, identified him. See, this is the normal expression of the gospel. But as long as we have hang-ups on experiencing that which already belongs to us, it will be magnified as we try to take it out of the house to the people whose hearts could be won with a simple word, a simple gift, a simple prayer. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. There's a result to that. You go out like and grow fat like stall-fed calves. That may be an offensive picture to you, but there's youth involved. Fat was health. Well-fed. And then trample the powers of darkness. You need a certain weight to trample. The Son of Righteousness arising, announcing a new day, holiness, purity, power, working in tandem, will cause the people of God to rise up with a level of health, personal health, and authority. Let me describe fatness as an expression of the anointing in authority that enables us to crush and destroy powers of darkness that have afflicted and tormented people. You're going to see in your own personal life the opportunity to bring deliverance to people. It's not just healing. People need to be set free from demons that have tormented them. And I tell you, it's not been popular in the American church, but they're there. And seeing people free is just such a great privilege for us. I remember, this is just fresh on my mind because of this last week, when my former secretary, Judy Franklin, how many of you remember Judy? Such a sweet one, such a great help to me, still is actually. She lives in Nashville now with her daughter, but still works for me, helping in the ministry. But when she, within a short time after starting to work for me, she was, she was in the back, and her husband came up to me and said, "Would you pray for Judy?" I said, "Yeah, what's up?" And she has this kidney infection or something, and she was in the back. He went back to get her, came out here, and I prayed for her. And she, I said, how are you doing? She said, "Do you want to know the truth?" I said, "Yes, of course I want to know the truth." She said, "It's worse." And I said, "That's good. Amen. That's awesome. Because now we know what it is." Because see, anytime an affliction gets more painful under prayer, it's because the anointing torments a demon. And the reason he'll increase the pain is to try to bring fear to the person who's sick and fear to the person who's praying. Why do you think when the disciples tried to cast the demons out of the child, remember the dad in Mark 9 brought his child to the disciples to be healed and delivered, and the demon threw him in the fire and the water, tried to kill him, and he's foaming at the mouth on the ground, and this huge scene. Why is he creating a scene? To create fear in the people doing the ministry. See, anytime the devil is in the open, that's his last card. That's not his best card. His best card is hiding in the pew. His best card is trying to stay concealed in a religious setting, unrecognized, unidentified. So whenever he's flushed into the open, his last effort is to try to instigate or ignite fear in people. And so he does so with extreme manifestations. And the disciples couldn't deliver. And they were experienced in deliverance. And so the father saw Jesus, brought the child to Jesus, and he delivered him. As soon as he did, the disciples took Jesus aside and said, "How come we couldn't do it?" And it was a legitimate question because they had experience. He had already entrusted them to go to their hometowns, and they saw great amounts of healing and deliverance. And they were shocked when it didn't work. So that tells me they already had a history of success. And how would you like to be shocked when it didn't work instead of shocked when it worked? Yeah. Amen. And Jesus said this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. It's a profound lesson that some obstacles only removed with prayer and fasting. But for me, the bigger lesson is that when the disciples didn't get an answer, they took Jesus aside. They had to find out why. They were not willing to live with an unanswered prayer. The lack of conviction, the lack of a burning heart enables us to coexist with unanswered prayers and it not mattering. And so the Lord is stirring up a zeal that's based on the righteousness and purity of God. A zeal that helps to bring about a new day of miracles, a new day of the demonstration of God for people.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20, it's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.